ever experienced the frustrations of prayer, unanswered prayer, hard to pray, feel like prayers go right to the ceiling and bounce right back? There are a variety of frustrations that we all struggle with when it comes to our prayer life. But there is an invitation to the throne of grace. God calls us to pray. He calls us to interact with Him. And we see that not only in Revelation chapter 8, but here in Hebrews chapters 4 and 5 as well. And that is where we catch up with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, on today's broadcast of Abounding Grace. There in Revelation chapter 8, as well as Hebrews chapters 4 and 5. We invite you to spend time with us today as we explore these passages as well as others together to understand this invitation to the throne of grace we've been afforded by God. Here's Pastor Chris, today's program.
We have two readings tonight, back to the book of Hebrews, and then we'll turn over to Revelation chapter 8. And as you're turning there, I also invite you to turn to page 252 in the back of the Forms and Prayers book. And we'll start there with page 252, Lord's Day 45, as we begin our series in prayer. And there are some question and answers there. I'll ask the question and have you please respond with the answer. Again, this is page 252, Lord's Day 45. The question there in 116 is, why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for these gifts and thank Him for them. How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed Himself to us in His Word, asking for everything He has commanded us to ask of Him. Second, we must fully recognize our need and misery so that we may humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord, as He promised us in His Word. What has God commanded us to ask of Him? Everything we need spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord Himself taught us. And we'll close with that prayer tonight after the sermon, the Lord's Prayer, which is really an exposition of the Lord's Prayer. We're beginning here. Back to Hebrews tonight, chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, then we'll turn over to Revelation 8. Since then we have, this is verse 14, since then we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And now over at Revelation chapter 8, last book of the Bible, found on page 1223, just the first five verses. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with the golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. And there we'll end the reading of God's Word tonight. Christians have the great privilege of coming, as we considered this morning, with boldness to the throne of grace and to talk with God. This communion between us and God is called prayer. That's what prayer is. It's talking with God. It's communicating with God. It's spending time expressing your heart and your thoughts to Him in a way, as we'll look at, that is reverences Him and trusts Him and believes Him. That believers have the ear of God are invited to cast all their cares upon Him because He cares for us. It's one of the most remarkable blessings that we have in the Christian life. It really is that we don't give enough attention to. Yet, we have to say prayer is one of the most neglected disciplines of Christians in our day. Even back in the 19th century, J.C. Ryle once wrote, "Yes, few pray. It is just one of the things assumed as a matter of course, but seldom practiced. A thing which is everyone's business, but in fact, hardly anybody performs." That's remarkable for a pastor to say that. Is it really true that the Christian community is not praying? And what would be the consequences of that? I mean, that's quite an assertion he made. What are the consequences of a prayerless Christianity? And is the church's mission today suffering because of it? Is a lack of prayer tied together to a lack of sanctification? Can we say something like that? How do we understand prayer, and what place does prayer have? And is it true that few are praying? Well, almost universally today, people complain of the busyness of their lives, don't they? Families are pulled away from the dinner table to all kinds of events, sporting events and practices and music lessons, and I could go on and on and on, and everyone expects everyone to be there at all these things. We have the best of modern conveniences, and yet we run ourselves ragged with never-ending appointments, don't we? The restlessness of our age is an indication of priorities gone wrong. And we spend time, as one pastor told me years ago, "Chris, people do and spend the time to do what they want to do. Nobody is too busy to do what they want to do." I think that's true. I think that's just true. We get to do and we get about doing what we want to do, even though we claim our lives are so busy. But we always seem to have time today to openly talk about all the problems in the world, don't we? Social media is not in want of Christians constantly talking. This is what we do. We talk. We talk about everything. And we express our disillusionment with the state of things constantly, don't we? We have a lot of words about that. We are good at talking about that. But what a privilege tonight to come back and say, you have the great open door to talk to the one with whom it matters and to communicate with him. I want to tonight consider and encourage us to pray frequently. No one is a master at praying. You hear the statement that some people are prayer warriors. That's great, but that's few. What is a prayer warrior? Well, tonight I want to consider the three sort of things that this this passage and what we're looking at here in Hebrews and Revelation 8, and it's a few themes that we're developing through this that the Heidelberg puts in front of us. I want to consider this confidence that we are to have in prayer, and then the consolation that we receive through prayer, and the characteristics, as the Heidelberg here outlines them, of true prayer. So we'll look at that first with the confidence. And one of the things that we see constantly in the Scriptures, which is remarkable, when God is acting and when God is doing things, we see constantly that the Lord was always using and listening to, and it always seemed to begin with the prayers of his people as he accomplished his will on the earth. Not saying that his will is not accomplished apart from our prayer, but that he uses the prayers of his people to accomplish his will and deliver his people. That's everywhere in the scripture. How could anyone miss that? And with that conviction, we all need constant reminders that God loves the prayers of his people. That God desires of us to talk to him. Not only does he desire it, he commands it. It's a commandment. Pray without ceasing. Talk to me. Come to me. Express your dependency. Express what's on the heart to me, says the Lord. Well, this morning we had this remarkable text, I think, captures the difficulties of prayer we've been looking at in Hebrews. Why is prayer so difficult? And why are things so difficult when it comes to talking with God? These early Christians were facing all kinds of problems that they did not anticipate in this life. And one way, what the author was doing here, was encouraging them to handle these things and to handle them with a different perspective. We've all been considering that people go in one of two ways when life is difficult and things are hard. You either run away from God or you run to God. That's what Hebrews is saying. Run to him. That's the benefit of coming boldly to the throne of grace. And why does he give us that kind of motivation? For he says, well, we don't have a high priest who's unsympathetic for what we're going through and is distant from us and hasn't lived this and hasn't learned obedience in becoming one of us in the incarnation. With every respect, he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. And that great truth of him becoming one of us and enduring all of this for us and being sympathetic, he invites us to come and calls us to come with boldness. He says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's prayer. He's calling us to pray. Sure, we come boldly to the throne of grace and worship, and we sit and receive that word. And one of the crucial responsibilities to also come is to come boldly and talk to him in prayer. That's what the scriptures show us everywhere. And he called us to consider Jesus, who in the days of his earthly pilgrimage offered up himself vehement cries and tears in prayers constantly to his heavenly Father. And what's most striking in that is how he encouraged these early Christians in all of their sufferings and all their trials and all their difficulties by saying, God will actually help you. You can come with boldness and have direct access to God, and his ear is inclined to you. You know, his ear is not inclined to everyone. The scriptures are very clear. God turns away his ear from the wicked, but he turns his ear to the righteous, his people. This life is one of wilderness travel we've been looking at, where God is testing us and God is trying us. And one of the very purposes in these things is that we would learn dependency upon him. And that's most expressed in drawing near to the throne in prayer. I think if you were going through that wilderness study in Exodus, and you had that little scene where Moses' hands were held up because he couldn't do it, and held up, and the Amalekites were attacking, the enemies were attacking, and when the hands went down, they began to win. And when the hands went up, when he was in the posture, he was praying. And again, prayer is not always like this, nor do I think eyes should always be closed. When we're in a dependent posture of prayer, that was an encouragement of the Lord's help to Israel. But what is required of us, and that's where I begin tonight, is really with this point of having confidence in this. And that's the single great motivating factor to prayer. The reality is that one of the very reasons that we have trials and tests in life and difficulties in life is to bring us to his feet in prayer. I think the spontaneous cries of God's people in the valleys and when we feel alone, and the cries that come what we call extemporaneously in the moment, are some of the most powerful and wonderful of prayers you can give. We don't always have to have the coffee out and the prayer journal open. Life just doesn't always work that way, does it? Well, how do we consider then this confidence and prayer that he loves? Think of Psalm 116 that tells us that God even loves prayers when you're not sleeping on your bed in the night. For some reason, they always put me back to sleep, but it's a good time to pray. The Lord is constantly calling us to come to him because we're needy. And he has abundant help for us and encouragement for us so that we would know his strength and know his peace and know his help. Why do you need to pray? I love what R. Heidelberg says, because in all of our distresses, all the needs, all the anxieties, we can go right to him and he is near to help us. The Lord is near to us and he gives the grace of the Holy Spirit to help us through the avenue of prayer. So then think of what prayer's demonstrating. Prayer's demonstrating dependency upon him. And to have dependency, you have to have confidence that God is hearing you and that God is for you and that God has called you to come to him. It's the strongest way you express trust. But to appreciate this, there has to be an understanding that it's God's gracious love in the gospel that drives us to prayer. I want to make sure we understand that point. That's why I appreciate the Heidelberg tonight. Why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness that God requires of us. This is your way of saying thank you to your Father for such an indescribable gift. I have to say that most approaches to prayer, as I began quoting the Ryle comment, puts us in the sort of guilt mode. I think for many of us, we have felt guilty about prayer. We have felt that probably this is the one area of the Christian life where we have not been very faithful. And the assumption then comes back to this, that because of my lack of talking with God, I fall in and out of favor with God. So we treat prayer kind of like what the theologians call a covenant of works. Do this and live. We approach prayer by a way of guilt. But the scriptures never do that. The scriptures demonstrate that prayer is something of a natural response to people who are hearing the word of God, embracing the word of God, responding in faith, like breathing. It's the natural response to somebody who says thank you for such a gift like that. Only a heart that's received grace and only a heart that understands the immense love of God shown in the gospel is driven to prayer. That's why worship is so important. That's why hearing the word is so important, to remove the pollutions of the world you're exposed to every single week. It has a deadening effect on life. But it's this last statement, I'm sure, Ursinus, when he was thinking and they were drafting this, he must have thought of Hebrews 4, that God desires to give his grace and Holy Spirit to those who pray. This is one of the things that's being communicated when he says he desires to give you help and mercy and grace in time of need, as the author of Hebrews says here. And that's where I want to move us tonight to think a little bit of how he's encouraging us to prayer as a means of helping us and receiving consolation, and to know that he's hearing us. That's a point I want to drive home tonight. That's what the Heidelberg also says here, that's so wonderful. We rest on this unshakable foundation, even though we don't deserve it. God surely listens to our prayer because of Christ our Lord, as he's promised in his word. Well, I want to just explore for a minute tonight, what is happening when we pray? I think that's the great question, because we don't immediately see anything. What is happening when we pray? What is God doing when we pray? Well, that's why I had us read Revelation 8 tonight. And it's a passage that I find immensely wonderful in this book, where essentially he's saying, the author here, John, is, I think, taking even the words of Jesus, where he said men ought always to pray and to not lose heart in all light of all the injustices of this world, that that here he's showing and giving you a window into heaven as to what's happening when we come boldly to the throne of grace. What's happening? You'll notice in this particular passage of Revelation 8 that seven seals are described in chapter 6. They're God's judgments on the earth, all leading up to the final judgment to come. And in that particular section, it says, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who's seated on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" The 6 days describing the great day of wrath, the sixth seal. And when you come to the seventh seal, we read, "When he opened the seventh seal," this is Revelation 8, "there was silence in heaven for about a half hour." What is that? Six seals. Six told us the day of judgment's coming. Now, verse 1 completes the seventh seal. What does it say? All of a sudden, there's silence. Chapter 4 described a throne fixed in heaven where Jesus is seated, ruling all things. And around the thrones are cherubim and seraphim and the angels, and they're all saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." But all of a sudden, as you come to Revelation 8, he's just capturing another moment here, another snapshot of something that's heavenly, and everything goes silent. Here's the struggle that Hebrews has been capturing. Where is the Lord? What is the Lord doing? All this persecution in earth, all this pain, all this suffering, all this misery, all this sin. And in heaven, there goes, for a half hour, silence. If you were to read through the Old Testament, when God's people prayed, one of the constant struggles of God's people in the Psalms was constantly, "How long, O Lord? Why aren't you answering, O Lord? Where are you, O Lord? Where's the help, O Lord?" It always seemed that God was not answering. Listen to the cries. "Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace and do not be still, O God." Psalm 109. "My God, whom I praise, do not remain silent. Why does it appear that you're silent when we pray? How long, O Lord? How long will you look on the senses and do nothing? How long," Psalm 89:46, "how long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long?" This is where we struggle with prayer.
Boy, we do struggle with prayer, don't we? And as we continue our look at this passage before us on tomorrow's program, we'll have some answers for you. So we trust you'll join us then. Now, this has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon and our time together studying God's Word. It is our hope and prayer you come away from our time together encouraged in that time of study. If you have questions or comments about the radio program, your own walk with Christ, we would love to hear from you. Now, you can reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Again, that's agradio.org. You'll find past programs that you can review at your convenience, as well as other platforms you can sign up and follow us on, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Those links are all, again, at our website, agradio.org. You're also welcome to reach out to us by phone. That number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry. Simply put, You are a vital, important cog in this wheel of ministry, if you will. Through your financial and prayerful support, we are able to continue this radio ministry here on the station you're listening to right now. Would you prayerfully consider getting involved financially and, most importantly, prayerfully? And then let us know. Again, you can give us a call at 888-504-8805 or visit agradio.org and drop us a note there. And then come back and join us next time as our studies will continue here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.